singing, wassail, 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 and jolly come to our jolly wassail. Here comes a ship out in full sail, ploughs the wide ocean in many a gale. For singing wassail, 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 and jolly come to our jolly wassail. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, pockets of money and a cellar of beer. For singing wassail, 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 and jolly come to our jolly wassail.
If you've got an apple, I hope you've got 10, to make some sweet cider against we comes again.
For singing wassail, 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 and jolly come to our jolly wassail.
Sometimes it's laurel, sometimes it's bay, come fill up our bowl dish and we'll drink away.
For singing wassail, 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 and jolly come to our jolly wassail. If master and mistress is sitting at ease, put your hand in your pocket and give what you please. For singing wassail, 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 and jolly come to our jolly wassail. Come knock at the knocker and ring at the bell, I know you'll reward us for singing wassail. For singing wassail, 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 and jolly come to our jolly wassail, 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 and jolly come to our jolly wassail.
Well, the holiday season is nearly with us, and it's a very busy time for the Millrace Folk Society. They have pub caroling with the Orange Peel Carolers and Village Band taking place on Sunday, December the 13th from 3 till 6 p.m. at the Brownstone Gastro Pub on Queen Street in Cambridge. And then a little later for Twelfth Night, which takes place on January the 9th, they also have their Twelfth Night celebration, which is a wonderful night of music and dance and celebrating the end of the Christmas season. To learn more about these wonderful activities, we've got hold of Brad McEwen, Artistic Director with the Millrace Folk Society. How are you doing today, Brad?
I'm well, thank you. How are you, Jan?
Not too bad. It is a busy time for the Millrace Folk Society. It's a perfect opportunity to not only provide some entertainment for people, but also to educate them about some of the wonderful rituals that have been part of the holiday season for centuries. And I thought it was a good opportunity to get you to talk about why people need to head out for pub caroling on Sunday, December the 13th.
Well, I guess part of my philosophy about the whole thing is that people have been celebrating the darkest time of year, Christmas, solstice, Yule, whatever you want to call it, for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And I think that it's a very, very important time of year for people emotionally and psychologically. I think there's a real need to observe that time of year. I think we have to do it, no matter what you want to call it or how you want to do it. One of the things I really love about the pub caroling tradition is that the songs are so incredible. I should talk about some of the background. A couple of hundred years ago, the Church of England went through a phase where they decided that carols weren't suitable for divine service and banned them from church, all except for While Shepherds Watch. So subsequently, there was 20 or 30 different tunes for it. But people, particularly in the north of England, said, well, we're going to sing our carols in the pub then. And so they've continued on this tradition of local carols, which are often totally alien to what most people think or know of as carols. They've got wonderful choruses. They're great for singing along. They're joyous. They're uplifting. They're invigorating. And when you get a group like the Orange Peel Carolers doing them, you know, they got 20 or 30 people singing in harmony and encouraging everybody else to sing along, it's an amazing experience. In many cases, like I said, these are unknown carols, but in some cases they're unusual versions of carols that we all know and have heard. And I'm not talking about Rudolph or Silver Bells or something. These are some, in some cases, 200 to 300 years old. So this has really been revived and spread in England in recent years, and even over to these shores in Canada. And if anybody is interested in going out to the pub caroling that we have at the Brownstone, I'd say get there early because it's usually standing room only.
And it is a free event.
It is a free event. The hat will be passed, of course, because we're a not-for-profit organization completely run by volunteers. So any funds that are received will go towards the annual summer festival.
And that's not the only event that Millrace Folk Society has at this time of year, because you have, I think, one of your big events. I know it's completely separate from your summer festival, but Twelfth Night is an important celebration. And I think it's something you've been doing for the last few years, haven't you?
I've lost track how many years we're doing it, because it used to be part of the Christmas in Cambridge events put on by the City of Cambridge, and then we are doing it on our own with assistance from the city. Over a decade now we've been doing it, and the thing is that the 12 days of Christmas actually started on Boxing Day and ended on 12th Night, which is really the old Christmas Day, according to the Eastern calendar. But at one time, these 12 days were just set aside for celebration. They're sort of a Christianization of the ancient Roman festival of Saturnalia. And I think one of the reasons that we started doing it is because Christmas can be a lonely and often disappointing time for a lot of people. There's a lot of high expectations, and usually those expectations don't happen. So I thought it would be rather nice to have the 12th Night celebration at the very end, because there isn't really any particular emotional baggage attached to it. It's a holiday that had been forgotten for the last 100 years. So I thought, why don't we bring it back and give people one more opportunity to go out and have a good time and celebrate the Christmas season without the kind of baggage that is associated with the rest of the season.
Well, it sounds like it's lots of fun. And again, something certainly I grew up with, it wasn't just this one festival that occurred around the 25th of December. It was actually something that continued, as you mentioned, until 12th Night. And actually, it was kind of a nice way to cathartically wrap things up with a little bit of a party at the end.
Yeah, and it used to be that 12th Night was the biggest night of the entire Christmas season. It was much, much bigger than Christmas Day, which is historically was a rather somber religious affair. And then, of course, beginning Boxing Day, all kinds of things happened. Again, the many celebrations going back hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years that people have carried on. And, and then wrapping up the whole thing at the very end. I think it's important to mention, too, that some people think when they see that we're doing Twelfth Night, they think we're doing Shakespeare's play. But, of course, we're not. And Shakespeare's play, Twelfth Night, was called that because that was when the play was set. It was set during a Twelfth Night celebration, or leading up to a Twelfth Night celebration. So that's why it got the title.
So we've mentioned dancing, music, and merriment. Why don't you tell us some of the things that people can expect to see and hear if they come out to Twelfth Night?
Well, although Twelfth Night was celebrated all over Western Europe and into the North American colonies, we focus mostly on the English traditions, and that's mainly because that's what we know the best. So what we're going to have is we're going to have a lot of traditional music from the British Isles being played. We're going to have some more pub caroling from Orange Peel Morris, who will also be doing, and I should mention the Orange Peel Carolers are also the Orange Peel Morris dancers. They'll also be doing a mummer's play. And of course, a mummer's play, for those that haven't seen it, is a mixture of comedy and combat, ritual combat, are often hundreds of years old. They're really quite an interesting thing that people find quite entertaining. That usually involves combat between some hero like Saint George and, you know, the Black Knight with a dragon being killed in the middle of it. And it only takes about 15 minutes to do. So we've got that as part of it. And we'll also be having some sword dancing from Oakville Ale and Sword. And of course, this is not Scottish sword dancing. This is sword dancing from the north of England and from Shetland. So there'll be a bit of that. And of course, sword dancing was largely a midwinter tradition. And then, of course, the last half of the event will be an English country dance, something that people that can participate in. We'll have a band and a caller that will be able to teach people the dances, and so they'll be able to get up on the floor and enjoy themselves and not just sit and observe.
And I think Old Father Christmas is coming. Now, you'll have to tell me what role he has. And he's also accompanied by the Green Man, so explain who they are.
Well, Old Father Christmas is really the English predecessor of Santa Claus. Saint Nicholas, of course, was the figure around whom Santa Claus is based, but in continental Europe, he was a much different figure. Wasn't the fat, jolly guy. In fact, sometimes he was a bit austere. The reason Santa Claus wears red is because it was the bishop's robes that were red. But Father Christmas was often dressed in green, certainly in when Charles Dickens featured him as the ghost of Christmas present in Christmas Carol, he was dressed in green. He's a figure that was, let's say if we take a snapshot of Old Father Christmas in the 17th century, he was almost like a Yuletide Bacchus, if you will, who is representative and symbolic of the feasting and celebration of the season. So we have him dressed in a long burgundy robe with a crown of holly on his head. He's like the master of ceremonies. He introduces the mummer's play, and the Green Man is a very, very ancient figure that you find particularly associated with midwinter, but in countries as far away as India and as far west as Ireland. And the Green Man will be kind of like a semi-comic figure that will assist Father Christmas. There'll be a prize. There'll be something that will be hidden, that one of the participants, one of the members of the audience, will have that, be given that secret token, and they will be crowned as the monarch of Twelfth Night, which means they'll be given a crown and scepter. And this is a very ancient tradition, again, on Twelfth Night, where somebody would be elected as the ruler of the evening, and everybody would bow and scrape, and they could tell them to do things like stand on a chair or something like that. You know, so we'll be incorporating that, and they'll be crowning the monarch for the evening.
And I think people are encouraged to dress up as well?
Absolutely. Fancy dress parties, as you know, has always been a feature of, you know, Yuletide celebrations in Europe, and particularly in the UK, and whereas over here they tend to be mostly around Halloween. So we encourage people to help us make the celebration more festive by dressing up in some kind of fancy costume, whatever suits them. You know, as fantastical as they want to be, it is entirely up to them, but come dressed up and help make it even more festive.
Now, Twelfth Night takes place on Saturday, January the 9th at 7:30 p.m. It's taking place at the United Kingdom Club of Cambridge, which is 35 International Village Drive. This is an event that you really need to get your tickets for early, isn't it?
I would advise it. And right now, we're only going to be selling tickets through our website. I know that's not convenient for everybody, but you know, ask people to remember we're all volunteers, and they can be purchased online. They'll probably go on sale sometime in December. And also mention to people that we can't hold tickets without advance payment. There'll be nobody to take phone calls during the Christmas season.
Absolutely, because they're all out celebrating. Tickets $15 in advance, as Brad mentioned, and it will be $20 at the door. And obviously that is assuming that there are any left. Brad, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Quickly, before we finish, just give us a reminder about the Summer Festival, when that will take place.
The Millrace Festival of Traditional Music, Traditional Folk Music, will have its 24th edition on the Civic Holiday weekend, July 29th to 31st, 2016. And we're busy at the moment with grant applications, budgets, and sifting through applications of performers.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, look, it's always great to talk to you. Certainly looking forward to getting a chance to talk to you about the Summer Festival nearer the time. Thanks very much, and have a great day.
Thank you.
While shepherds were watching their flocks by the night, there came a great noise which gave them a fright. Cheer up, faithful shepherds, and be not afraid. Cheer up, cheer up, cheer up, faithful shepherds, and be not afraid. 'Twas angels a-shouting on that glorious morn, a-shouting glad tidings, the Saviour is born, is born of a virgin, so meek and so mild.
Mercy implore.